Hello, listeners, and welcome back to a special bonus episode of East in the Arena, where we talk to trauma providers across the country about unique things they do, why they do them, and how. On a recent episode, we sat down with Dr. Pat Murphy from Medical College of Wisconsin and learned about his research into full-time equivalents and how MCW works to make our specialty healthier, sustainable, and more enjoyable. If you haven't already listened to it, definitely go back and check out the episode because it was a good one. Medical systems of other countries can be somewhat of a black box for healthcare workers in the United States. So before our discussion about FTEs, we chatted a little bit about the healthcare system in Canada, specifically about trauma. We thought this would make for an interesting bonus episode, so we hope you enjoy it. In case you missed our episode with Pat, let's start out by hearing a little bit about him.
I'm Canadian. I was born on the East Coast of Canada, although I did all my medical training in Ontario. So I did 4 years of medical school at Queen's University in Kingston. And then I did a 5-year general surgery residency in London, Ontario. And then I did fellowship in Indiana, largely because in Canada, the operative trauma volume is basically the opposite of the operative trauma volume in the United States, in that I did a 5-year residency and I saw a single GSW that was operative. We were the catchment area for between 1 and 2 million people.
One GSW in 5 years.
That's insane.
And to be a trauma surgeon in Canada, which was my plan at the time.
Let's just say he got some sound advice.
Go to America and get your fill of, operative trauma. And indeed, in my first 2 weeks of fellowship, I think I saw 10 GSWs that we operated on. And, when you come back, you're the trauma guy. And so that's how I kind of ended up in Indiana. I did a 2-year fellowship because I wanted to do academics and I wanted to get a high volume operative trauma, because that's what I was kind of missing from, I think, largely my training.
It worked out that he had the opportunity to stay in the US.
And ended up in Milwaukee. I was introduced to Dr. DeMoya by one of my partners. I was fortunate enough to start working at MCW just over 2 years ago now.
So Pat and I had a great conversation about his research into trauma FTEs. But before we got to that, we chatted a little bit about how medicine, and specifically trauma care, is done in Canada. Jeremy, Mike, what do you guys know about the differences between the Canadian and US health systems?
The first thing comes to mind is that the Canadian system is more socialized. And so it's a single payer system. So everyone gets treatment. They're just maybe a wait list or something along that line.
Yeah. Anything else? Do you guys know much about the surgery world in Canada, for example?
No idea, actually.
Zero.
Okay, so here's what I learned.
The care provided in Canada is, by and large, fantastic.
If you're going to die of something or be severely harmed by something like
cancer, heart attacks, strokes, your care is going to look very similar in Canada in terms of the timeliness, effectiveness, et cetera, as it does in the United States. And you're not going to get a big bill or worry about any of that.
The challenge, though, arises when, for example, you have biliary colic.
When are you going to get your surgery for that in Canada? How soon are you going to see the surgeon? That is where I've noticed a big difference between Canada and the United States.
If you were to get a referral to Pat's current practice in the United States,
I think our metric is something like being seen within 10 to 14 days of referral and getting your surgery within 30 to 45 days. That just doesn't happen in Canada. Operative time is a limited resource.
And in Canada, when you get a procedure,
financially, everyone loses money, including society, because it's, single payer universal healthcare.
Whereas in the United States, when somebody gets an operation and they're insured,
as far as I can tell, everyone makes money. And so those diametrically opposed views really inform, I think, sometimes how quickly patients get their care. I think that's a societal decision in that the patients who are going to die or be irreparably harmed because they have cancer probably should get their care quicker. But it kind of leaves some patients who have reduced quality of life in a bit of a lurch. It is tough on patients who need their hip replaced, who can't get in and out of their car, but have to wait a year for that.
I guess what I'm struggling with is the dichotomy of want versus need, right? Yeah. Biliary colic's great. You need your gallbladder out. You want it done very quickly.
Biliary colic's not great. Just saying.
No, it's not.
It sounds awful.
It does sound awful. I don't know. I guess it's tough. Having never had any of these issues, I guess the reality is I can't possibly comment because I don't know what it's like to live with biliary colic,
right?
You know, or what dealing with that a delay would be like, you know?
Well, what is, I guess I don't know, what does the acute care surgical model in Canada look like? Because if you come to biliary colic to my ED, we're going to take out your gallbladder.
Yeah, and that's a great question, Mike. And while we didn't really get into ACS, we talked about trauma, and it sounds like the same would apply to ACS.
The trauma systems are just kind of different.
For example, the accreditation is not quite the same.
They're not American College of Surgeon accredited, and for lots of reasons. Like if you don't have a trauma surgeon available within 15 minutes, it's hard to be accredited as a level one or two, but that just doesn't exist as the current system stands. In fact, I believe the first hospital, Sunnybrook in Toronto, I think is undergoing accreditation right now.
And for our listeners, Pat gave us an update. Sunnybrook has been officially accredited as a level one center, so credit where credit is deservedly due. And according to Pat, St. Mike's in Toronto has recently applied as well.
As another example, the trauma team leader is often an emergency medicine physician, or as they call it there, an emerge doc.
They will run kind of most of the primary survey, the resuscitation, because as far as I'm aware, and I could be wrong, there is no trauma surgeon in-house at any hospital in Canada. In fact, I think it's an important distinction to make that, say I went and worked in Canada, I would be a general surgeon who did trauma.
Whereas in Milwaukee, he would be a
trauma surgeon who does general surgery, or an acute care surgeon. You know, that's a whole other hour-long podcast in itself. What should our moniker be that we argue about all the time, whether you're a trauma surgeon, acute care surgeon, or both, or intensivist. So that's one of the major differences, is that pretty much everyone's at home. The people who are in-house are the emergency medicine physicians, so they make, you know, the obvious choice of the trauma team leader. And then the, you know, trauma system, similar to our trauma systems, is mobilized with 0 to more than 0 minutes heads up, and everyone kind of descends on that patient and does much the same kind of resuscitation with the same resources as you would at a major trauma center in the United States, albeit without some of the access. Like, we didn't have a 24/7 trauma room kind of ready to go because you didn't need it.
I will be honest, and with the amount I'm working now, the idea of like, I'll just be home and just call me when you need me. There's something very alluring about that.
So the emerge doc is typically the trauma team leader, but what about the surgery side? When do they get involved and who?
Most of the trauma systems, the person who shows up to the trauma from the surgical side is going to be a general surgeon. And the way the call model works in most centers in Canada, it could be anyone from, you know, a colorectal surgeon
to an HPB surgeon
to a surgical oncologist. Like, that could be the general surgeon on call who is tasked with both making the decision to operate and doing that operation.
So the trauma splenectomy might be done by a colorectal surgeon.
And now at certain institutions, specifically in Toronto, in Alberta, in Edmonton and Calgary, and I think in Vancouver, so it's a larger kind of metropolitan cities, they often have a trauma surgeon on call, or sometimes that's a general surgeon whose large interest is in trauma. So they kind of keep up with the literature. But it was not unheard of, at least during my training, to be on call with one of the surgeons whose main practice might be, you know, melanoma and breast, and we're up there doing a trauma splenectomy.
That's nuts.
I thought that was pretty cool.
In Mike and I's training, we had general surgeons who did bariatric, like Kay Vaziri.
Yeah.
Right? He was great MIS surgeon, great general surgeon, bariatrics, you know, hernia, stuff like that. You take trauma call. And Kay could knock it out of the park just as well as anybody.
I think that in older generation of surgeon, and by older, I don't mean that much older, but
Vaziri would take offense to that.
but like, their training was much more all-encompassing in that regard. And that's probably what they were more expected to do. I feel like we've gotten away from that model in the past 8 to 10 years. Perhaps younger surgeons are not in that same comfort zone.
Well, and also, like, if you're going to be at a level one trauma center to do trauma, you have to be in-house. And many surgeons, if they're not choosing to do acute care surgery or whatever the title is, they don't want to be in-house. And I don't blame them. That's not the life they chose. And we're the idiots who chose that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And that's all, folks, for this East in the Arena mini episode. We hope you enjoyed this bonus content and learned a little something about a very different trauma system. I wish we had some more time to dive into this topic, but maybe that's something that we can bring to you in the future. East in the Arena is a product of the Educational Resources Committee and created by Jeremy Levin, Sean Murley, and Mike Radomski. If you want to check out more In the Arena episodes or other East products, including the TraumaCast and CareerCast, visit east.org or wherever fine podcasts are found. This episode was produced by me, Sean Murley. Intro and outro music were produced by Matt Holzmacher. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.
All right, so for a bit of an update from when we recorded this mini episode, Pat puts us in touch with some of his colleagues in Canada to go into greater depth of what the Canadian trauma system is like beyond Pat's own experience. So stay tuned for a future episode of In the Arena, where we go international and talk shop with two Canadian trauma surgeons.